Ready to maximize your travel and casino experience from both sides of the pond? From airline miles, hotel points, and loyalty programs to living in the lap of luxury in a Las Vegas casino, you'll find all of the knowledge you need to travel in style. Welcome to ZorkCast, powered by TravelZork, helping you travel smarter, gamble smarter, and maximize your adventures. Now, please welcome the hosts of ZorkCast, Michael Mason Traeger, and everyone's favorite Brit, Steve White.
Welcome back to ZorkCast for another lovely casino and Vegas-y news episode with my co-host, the infamous Steve White.
That was a very, very cool intro. You sounded kind of like sexy in that intro. You had that kind of sexy voice. Is that weird? That's how it came across to me anyway.
Well, I'm working on the sexy voice thing for next year.
I thought you were working on it for ZorkFest.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But we'll get to that in a little while. But everyone, thank you for joining us today. If you happen to like this podcast, we don't say this very often, but we really love reviews in the Apple Podcast Store, including the Apple Podcast Store in the UK. And you could just say good things about Steve. You don't have to say anything nice about me. But that's always very, very much appreciated. Also, if you'd like to support the show, there is a landing page with some great US credit card offers. We're going to be updating it a little bit more and adding some more by the time you listen to this. And that is ZorkOffer.com. So today, getting into today's episode, because we had a lot of fun with Frank on the last episode, and today is going to also be another fun episode because I went back to Vegas again, Steve.
Are you doing? Don't even get me started on this. I'm like 3 weeks, 3 weeks. In fact, it's less than 3 weeks. It's like 19 days now. Oh, it's getting close.
Yes, so that's going to be a big topic of this conversation about some of the things I did in Las Vegas. Also, last episode, we had to cut it a little bit short because we had only a limited amount of time we could record that episode. Our casino history, you know, casino in history moment is going to be talking a little bit about Atlantic City and the Golden Nugget Atlantic City. In addition, on the final bits today, Steve has a double final bits. So it's like double bits.
Well, because we didn't have one last week, so I figured we need to pick up for it.
And that's going to be talking a little bit about Podcaster Potluck. I love that name. And a few words on hotel and casino upkeep. So let's just jump into this. I went back to Las Vegas again, Steve. Did you know that?
Oh, God. You know what? You know I'm jealous. Let's move on and talk about your trip. And I can pretend I was there, too. Although I was disappointed to see your choice of airline.
Yes, you were. So this is a very last-minute trip. It was slightly inspired by Vegas Duffy and Vegas Introvert. You can find them both on the Twitter. But it was Vegas Introvert's birthday. I was on one of his vlogs, making a fool of myself, as usual, ranting about Chinese food and champagne.
That's nothing unusual.
Exactly. So this, I did fly on Frontier. I flew on Frontier because it was $82.46, I think it was, round trip.
You can't argue with the pricing, I must say.
It was amazing. And I happen to, for full disclosure, I happen to have been granted elite status on Frontier. So that meant I didn't need to pay for premium seats or a carry-on bag, because carry-on bags $30 each way on Frontier. So this truly did cost me $82. And I must say, everything went really, really well. I left Charlotte. It's actually quite convenient because I left Charlotte on a very late flight on Monday night. It was about 9 p.m. So that part of the airport is where United, Southwest, Frontier, and Spirit leave from. They put like the Spirit gates next to the Frontier gates. But there was actually a really cool, you probably saw the picture. There's one of the brew pubs has a really cool beer place that's right by
the Frontier. Yeah, I remember seeing the picture. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really cool. Super chill. Really, really easy. I basically was in, you know, distance of the gate to see it. So I was just enjoying a beer. I actually had a bourbon, was catching up on some email, and the flight boarded on time, took off on time, and got us to Las Vegas. I had an empty seat next to me both ways, which is great on Frontier. Premium seats have a little bit of extra leg room. Premium seats also recline. I don't know if you knew that, Steve, but the non-premium seats have no reclining.
I did not know that.
But one of the interesting observations about Frontier, I mean, and everything went really well, I have to say. Like, everything, flight attendants were super nice. They have a nice onboard menu. One of the things that impressed me about the onboard menu, well, they're doing alcohol. I had Buffalo Trace, actually. But what impressed me is that no problem paying with Apple Pay. So they came around with little, so it was really easy, you know, like the flight attendant came, you just held up your phone and paid with Apple Pay. And you know, I love that kind of thing.
Yeah. But, and was it expensive or was it pretty good value?
It was okay. You know, it was nothing, but it was easy. The service was good. The flight attendants were great. But I will say those seats are so hard. Like I've sat in a lot of seats, and it's true. We joke, we're like, you know, premium cabin people, but I've sat in economy class before, but there's just something about these seats on Frontier where like the hardest seats I have ever been on in my entire life.
Have you ever been on a Ryanair flight? Are they worse than Ryanair?
I haven't been on Ryanair. I would assume that you would have been on Ryanair.
I have been on Ryanair. I don't remember the seats being particularly bad though. It's been quite a few years.
Huh, that's interesting. So anyway, I arrived in Las Vegas. I arrived at the other terminal. Frontier leaves from the terminal where British Airways and everyone does, the international T3. That's it. You see, I was leading you to tell me that. So I'm not used to arriving there. And actually, a friend picked me up at the airport, which was really nice. And he took me back to my hotel and we enjoyed some cigars and just sort of hung out. And it was really, really nice. Somebody I hadn't seen in a couple of years, but it was super cool and gracious that he picked me up. One of the things that we did, because it was before midnight that I checked in, and I was staying at Flamingo in a suite because I'm trying lots of different hotels or trying to punish myself.
You're trying to use up those Caesars comps. They're still giving you them.
Yeah, they just won't go away. But as Diamond Plus or above, you get 4 drink coupons per day. And this was rather late after checking in. So it was about 11:30 at night. So you need to redeem those drink coupons before midnight.
Oh, yeah, so actually redeem them before midnight. You don't just have to claim them.
Right. On the coupons, they say the expiry is 11:59. Now, between you and me, you're handing in a physical coupon. So,
yeah.
It depends how strict they want to be. So we went to that center bar at, is it the Bugsy Bar at Flamingo? I think it's that big center bar. Yes. I got some Grand Marnier and I forgot what my friend got. Makers, I think. But she was very generous with the pours. You know, I had enough for a double. He had enough for a double. I think we had way more than a double. Flamingo has no glassware on the casino floor at all.
So it's all plastic?
Yeah, it's all plastic.
Oh, but I bet you didn't like that.
I did it, but the Cromwell and Link and Paris have glassware.
Yeah, Cromwell I really like for drinks. I always found had really good drink service there and really nice bars too. Not even just on the casino floor. I like the Cromwell for that.
But what I did find out that was better, just staying on this drink coupon topic, is that the steakhouse, Bugsy and Meyer, you can use the drink coupons at the bar there. And they have a lovely bar area with lovely servers. And that is a great place to get a cocktail. And I don't know how long this will last. They will allow you to order a drink for more than $20 and pay the difference.
Ah, see, you learn new things on this podcast every day because no way I would have known that.
So, for instance, if you get a double of Angel's Envy, which is $22, you just then have to pay the $4. Whereas it used to be at a lot of bars, you couldn't order anything over 20. But they've got a great French onion soup. And the food's quite overpriced there, inclusive of the French onion soup. Mm. But you know what? If you've got those four drink coupons and you're with someone, you can order a salad and a soup and enjoy really nice cocktails and proper glassware. That would be one of my go-to places to use them. You used to be able to use the coupons at Vanderpump's. I don't know when that changed, but, you know, that's pretty cool.
Has that stopped now then? You're not allowed to use them there anymore.
You know what? I haven't looked into it personally, but I heard people say you can't use them at Vanderpump's. What was very nice at Vanderpump's at Caesars is that they had a number of drinks that were $18 and they were really quite yummy.
I think they're putting one of those in at Paris too now, aren't they?
Where the Laurel Lounge.
Yeah, where the Diamond Lounge was. Yeah, or Laurel Lounge, as you rightly say. I forget they renamed those things.
So I don't know. I haven't looked it up online, but enough people in the Facebook group were saying, oh, you can't use them at Vanderpump's. This is a really good option. So I posted a lot of pictures on that kind of thing. So a big point of my visit was to see the new rooms at Wynn Las Vegas and see the new rooms I did.
And they've been kind of controversial, haven't they, these rooms? People seem to really love them or really hate them. There doesn't seem to be a middle ground.
Right, right. And what I did is, in order to really get myself ready, you know, to see these rooms, I started a refresher of the room tours at Wynn Las Vegas by basically first, I went to Encore and I looked at the Encore Parlor Suite and Salon Suite to remind myself of what Encore looks like. Then what I did was I went over to Wynn and then saw those other rooms. So that was pretty good. Leo is a little bit upset. He's trying to get out of my office. And I'm attached by headphones, so I don't want to...
Just to tell everyone, Leo is the dog. It's not
Leo is the dog.
He doesn't have anyone captive.
No, I do not have anyone captive. Yes, no, he was just, no one is captive. Leo, it's Mr. Leo Dog, and Leo does not like Steve, but that's a topic.
Oh, that's a whole other story. He bullies me on Twitter, everyone.
So there is a distinct thing at Wynn, and you could correct me if I'm describing this not well, but there's definitely Encore style, right? So right now you've got the Encore style,
yes,
which has more of the red and it's a different kind of look. And then you had the Wynn style, which was the old Roger Thomas kind of Wynn look. So now you have the Encore style, which is still quite nice. And now you have the new Wynn look, which is totally different. I would say it's slightly eclectic, very brown.
It makes me think like a log cabin would be kind of... I don't know if that's the best description, but and really nice one, like a luxury cabin. Yeah, that's what makes what I think of. I don't know why.
It's maybe sort it's of interesting, brown. Though. I have an article on Travelzork about these, and I'm calling like Wynn the OG of Vegas luxury, because I really think Wynn is that. And what's interesting about it is there's some interesting, like the Salon Suite, I think, has like a Japanese-type screen with the TV in front of it. And I've zoomed in on some of the artwork. So you've got a lot of artistic elements going on, a lot of different artwork, a lot of different things. The thing that really stands out to people is the poster bed.
I was going
to
say the full poster bed, which I kind of feel when I look at it is unnecessary. I think the room would be better without it personally, but that's just my taste. I think it makes the room look a bit more cluttered, but that's just my take.
I feel the same way. I feel it's like unnecessary. Like, what's the purpose of a
poster? But it's Wynn, so who cares?
Yeah. The other thing that's very interesting is the bathroom, sort of like the cabinet with all of the items on it, which is all exposed. And then what's further really interesting about it is what they've done with the bar area in the Salon Suite. So the old bar area, and what's sort of cool is that I put a video up on YouTube from May of the Salon Suite. So, I mean, it's very, very interesting. I put a video up of the old Salon Suite because I knew that they were going to be renovating it and that would be lost. So it was really for historical Wynn fanboy purposes. But what's very interesting about the Salon Suite is they had like a traditional bar, you know, with like bar stools,
yeah,
you know, for entertaining. And now they've done away with that. So they sort of have this like funky glass table. Mm. It's very interesting. It's modern. I mean, it's sort of like a modern chic. I don't know. You see, you say log cabin. I say more like Manhattan apartment. How about if you took a log cabin and you smashed it together with like a chic Manhattan apartment?
It also makes me think of like boutique London hotels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the bar area is very interesting. So I would say check it out. It's sort of growing on me. Leo's happy right now. He's right behind. Everyone needs a play-by-play on what's happening.
Yeah, we definitely need a play-by-play.
Even though he's not barking. But yeah, I think it's a lot to get used to. I think it's quite a bit to process if you were really used to the old Wynn and Wynn Tower Suite rooms. A couple of pieces of information. The rooms are the same on the Wynn Resort side as they are in Wynn Tower Suites. You know, the resort room.
Yeah, yeah.
The regular resort room looks the same as the Wynn Tower Suites room. They put a couple of extra Tower Suite amenity in it. One of the confusing things for people, and I tried to explain this in the article, when you stay in Wynn Tower Suites, you get additional amenities. You can check in at Wynn Tower Suites, which is like checking in at a boutique hotel. You have a separate pool for Wynn Tower Suites, you know, things like that. And that pool is really great for Wynn Tower Suites. Even though it's called Wynn Tower Suites, the lowest category room is a king room.
It's not a suite.
Tower Suites king room.
Yeah,
it's confusing.
Yeah.
Now, the suites, actually, there's an executive suite, there's a parlor suite, and there's a salon suite. So it gets confusing that even though you're in Wynn Tower Suites, not everything is a suite. But all of the suites are in wind towers. Does that say? Yes, and you know exactly. In other words, there's no such thing as a suite on a resort side.
Yes.
Nobody ever speaks to the executive suite because there are very, very few of them. It's between the regular room. It's like a large studio suite.
Yeah.
It's really quite nice. But since there's such little inventory, it's not spoken. It's not even in GDS. The global like travel agent booking systems. Yeah. And then the parlor suite is one of my favorites. I feel it's just the right size. And then the salon suite's larger than the parlor suite. The main differential, like two main differentials between the parlor and the salon suite is a dining nook, mm-hmm. like a true dining nook, and the massage room.
Yes. And they retain those?
Yes. And the dining nooks are still nice. What's very interesting to understand is that the parlor suite in the Encore side mm-hmm. actually has a massage room, but only the salon suite on the wind side has a massage room.
This is where it gets confusing.
Yeah, I know. It's great. But we're trying to really – what's wonderful is that we could definitely talk about, you know, really all the nuance of wind rooms.
What's really exciting is this wasn't the only new rooms you checked out on this trip either.
That is absolutely true. I had a wonderful – I happened to get to see Vegas Duffy's suite, which is a Crockford's two-bedroom suite. And what was neat about that is it's in Crockford's West. And you're going to say, what is Crockford's West? Well, Crockford's West.
I know what Crockford's West is, but I can say it if you want me to.
Yes, say it.
What is Crockford's West?
Crockford's West was actually the top floors of the Hilton. Because remember, Resorts World has three hotels. It has a Hilton, a Conrad, and a Crockford's. Crockford's West was the top floor of the Hilton, which were mostly just suites. And they have decided to turn those into Crockford's suites. Yeah. So they are in the Hilton color, which is a little bit funny. But it's a lovely suite. And what's so unique about it is built as a two-bedroom. So most two-bedroom suites are one-bedroom suites with a connecting room.
Yeah.
Whereas in this example, it is a two-bedroom. It is truly built as a two-bedroom suite. I'm going to be getting up. I think I've shared some pictures, but I'm going to be getting up a video of that. I also got the wonderful opportunity to see the presidential and the chairman's suites at Resorts World. Yes. And the one that really... Do you love the term knocks your socks off? The one that knocks your socks off is the chairman's suite. Did you see any of my pictures of that?
Yeah. Didn't you do a video of that one?
Yes. And what's really cool, there are a couple cool elements. It's on the 65th floor. What's really cool about it, so it's below the lounge on the 66th floor. It's on the 65th floor. Yeah, 65 comes below 60. 65 comes below 66. It has an outdoor terrace, a huge outdoor terrace, which is awesome. And then it has a couple of other features, which are great. It's three or four bedrooms. I think that one's four bedrooms. What is really, really cool is it has a massive theater, which is great, which is not that unusual in these types of suites. It has billiards and a beautiful bar area. It has the outdoor terrace with a telescope, which is awesome. But then it has a huge dining room. And when you look down this dining room, you can see a perfect view of the stratosphere, which is so cool outside the dining room. But then on the side of the dining room, it has a display kitchen. So it has a glass wall and there's a huge kitchen where you could have like chefs cooking and you can watch them cooking off of the dining room.
That is cool.
So you could do an interesting food and beverage kind of thing where you can actually watch the chefs cooking. And I've never seen something. It's like literally it's a display kitchen with a dining room that seats like 25.
That's super unique.
It's amazing.
And I could see people booking that for like private functions and things, like if they want to entertain guests, like business people as well.
Yeah.
Have a whole show in your room with the dining table. That's cool.
It's really, really, really neat. So that was super cool. The other thing I want to bring up, and I did it a little bit on Twitter the other day, is ducks. Conrad ducks. So Ted, do you know what is the story of the Conrad duck?
I don't know the story of the Conrad duck, actually.
Well, I mean, I think the overall, there isn't much of a story, but many people get ducks from Conrad
hotels. Yeah, right. Okay, I thought there was a story. But yeah, and they also do a lot of bears too. Well, soft animals, they're not all bears. Like the Conrad in London is a dog, a bulldog, British bulldog.
Of course, of course. So a lot of people have asked me before, does the Conrad in Las Vegas have ducks? And they do. They put ducks in the suites for Crockfords, which are, most of the suites are Crockford suites. The Conrad has some one-bedroom suites.
Yeah.
And they're actually ducks that are also a bath bomb that say Resorts World and like, hello, fabulous.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's really cool. I think there has been a little bit of disappointment, and the little bit of disappointment is that not everybody gets these ducks. I think realistically, this is the largest Conrad hotel in the world. If they were giving a duck amenity to every room all the time, it would probably be a ridiculous amount.
They probably would never be able to get enough ducks.
Yeah. So it's logical that they're putting them in the suites on the bathtub. Why is that? Because the regular rooms don't have bathtubs.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a bath bomb. So that's cool. But it is a really neat amenity. And it is an amenity that we have found out about and we can request for Travels or Travel customers, which is really pretty cool. So we can make sure you get your duck love.
Even more reasons to book with us, right? Book with Travels or.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are not really particularly high pressure, but the Hilton Impresario program is really, really nice and works really well with Resorts World, you know. So,
and we weren't sure how well it was going to work at first, but it has been amazing. It really has. It's been so good. And we've got some really good rates for people, too.
Yeah, so something to think about.
So did you actually have any time to do anything like gambling? Because
yes.
It seems to me you've just been touring hotel rooms.
I did a dice crawl with Vegas Duffy, and that video is going up. It's going to have the Crockford's two-bedroom suite and the dice crawl, and we have our commentary on the dice crawl. So our goal was to do three or four casinos with a small buy-in. Actually, what happened, well, I mean, I think we started off extremely disciplined and the whole thing went to hell really, really quickly. But basically, the first session, we both bought in for $800. I cashed out for $844. Duffy cashed out for $75. And the next session, I bought in for $800. I bought in for another $200. I wound up cashing out for $44. And Duffy bought in for $800, $500, $200, and wound up cashing out for $275. So it was not particularly pretty. And what saved me at the first session was a hard way parlay. So that was sort of neat. The second one, we were at the Cromwell, and it was great dealers, great table. It just sucked. You know, it was just really tough to get anything really going. I think 1 point, maybe 2 points. It just was one of those things. So then we decided we wanted to go to our third property.
Am I right in thinking, sorry to interrupt you, but at the Cromwell, they've moved the tables now too, and they've put slots where the tables used to be?
Right. The craps tables are all the way in back.
Yeah.
Or near where the porte cochere would be, near the cage.
They didn't
near
the cage. There. They were at the front before, I think.
Right.
Closer to the boulevard.
Exactly. And you know what they're not doing? Remember, they were used to be doing 100 times odds.
Yeah.
But what I did hear is that they actually do grant 100 times odds on a discretionary basis to some people, which is sort of ridiculous then, because they're actually granting 100 times odds to the people who use the 100 times odds. So you'd think that from a marketing perspective, yeah, they're losing out because they're still on a discretionary basis granting 100 times odds. So then our last place we went to is I had this hankering. You like that hankering? I had this.
I know where you went, and I'm only going to be going there once I've had my COVID booster.
We went to Circus because I'm like, we got to play dice.
Never know what you're going to catch.
And the dice tables weren't open.
Oh,
even though some of the other tables were open. So that was a bust. So that was about the extent of our dice crawl. I did meet Duffy the next day again at the Wind Tower Suites bar to wish Vegas Introvert a wonderful happy birthday. Mm-hmm. And Duffy taught some interesting, he was playing some dice sessions. There were, I will tell you, there was some absolute craziness of dice limits at Wynn Las Vegas. Like, I have never seen limits like this before, you know? I mean, I saw at Wynn, and this is from the top of my head because I can't find the note one day, but one afternoon, there was one $25 dice table, two $50 dice tables, and one $100 dice table.
Wow.
Which is really, really high level.
I was going to say, that is super high, right?
Right. But it gets better. I went to check out Baccarat. The only squeeze games that were available were in the high limit room, which is the usual case.
Yes.
They had five $500 tables
wow.
and two reserve tables.
Wow.
So the lowest amount you could get for a squeeze game was $500.
So I take it you didn't play.
No. And then on the casino floor, they had a mini game, a non-squeeze Baccarat game for $100.
Wow. I feel like you should define for people who don't know this, what do you mean by squeeze, non-squeeze?
Basically, a squeeze game means that the players that have the highest wager on player or banker get to face the cards. So if for Baccarat, there are two ways to bet. You can bet on player, you can bet on banker, which is why the other way the game is called Punto Banco. For Punto being player and Banco being bank. So if you have the high bank bet, you get to face the cards for the banker. And if you have the high player bet, you get to face those cards. And you also get to face the third card if there is a third card based on, you know, based on Baccarat rules. So in a mini game, a mini Baccarat game, a non-squeeze game, the dealer does everything. So the dealer faces the player, faces the bank, and then faces the additional cards if the rules dictate that you get additional cards. So it is much more exciting to be able to face the cards when you're playing Baccarat, in my opinion. And usually, it because the players squeeze the cards, and you can rip the cards and do all kinds of things. You know, the usual was for a long time, about $100 was the usual for squeeze games. You know, sometimes you'd find a $50 squeeze game. But seeing so many $500 tables, I had seen it win before. They were like $200 and $300. But I've never seen so many $500 tables. And if you wanted to talk about bankroll in relation to, I don't know, I mean, you would want to come with enough bankroll for at least 100 hands. Now, of course, you're not going to lose every hand. But like, just talk about like how much money you'd like to have. You know, on a $500 table, that would be coming with probably a minimum of $50,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's getting into really, really high amounts of money. And you know what? $50,000 for that kind of game is probably still a relatively low.
Low for high limit.
Yeah. Is probably, you know, for a $500, you think about a $500, you know, is the minimum. Now, what's so interesting is they don't change the maximum. Actually, I'm sure they changed the maximum for certain people. But the spread is 20,000 is the maximum bet, if I remember, at win.
Yeah.
So those are 500 to 20,000 games, and the others are 100 to 20,000 games. So yeah, it blows my mind, but business must be good for them to do it. Also, Vegas Duffy showed me a really cool area, which I forgot about, which is on the way to the Terrace Point Cafe and across from the host office. There's a little elevated high limit area that goes into the regular high limit area, and they have two dice tables there. They have one crapless craps and one regular for high limit dice play. And I've never seen, and my assumption is that those are only $100. They were not operating. And I think I threw up some pictures of those in a video I'm putting up. So some interesting things, probably more information than people need, but it's really pretty cool stuff.
So we need to talk about, your casino in history moment.
Yes. So now we're going to get back to our casinos in history moment. And I was just talking a little bit about last time when we were talking about Atlantic City, that Atlantic City history can be really confusing when it comes to casino names, because the original Golden Nugget Atlantic City, which was at one far end of the boardwalk, the opposite end of Hard Rock and Ocean, all the way on the other end of the boardwalk, was where the Golden Nugget was. And that was the original Golden Nugget built by Steve Wynn, which was supposed to be the sister or parallel property to the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas, which it was. Actually, did you know that they were considering calling the Mirage the Golden Nugget originally?
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah, it's sort of neat stuff. I don't know why that came up, but just we're talking about. So that Golden Nugget in Atlantic City became the Bally's Grand, then became the Grand, then became the Atlantic City Hilton. What's tricky there is that there was supposed to be a Hilton originally in the marina, and Hilton didn't get the gambling license. And that Hilton, this is going to blow your mind, that Hilton was the Trump Castle. And guess what you're going to say is exactly it. And that's the Golden Nugget.
Has that become the Golden Nugget? Yeah.
So, but now back to the other Golden Nugget that was on the boardwalk. And then after it was no longer the Hilton, they named it the ACH. Because some other company took it off for Atlantic City Hilton. They couldn't come up with a name. So I guess instead of calling it the casino, they called it the ACH. And then it became the Atlantic Club. And then it closed.
I was going to say, so what is it now? Or is it just not there anymore?
It's just closed up. It was the Atlantic Club. It was the one that was used in that zombie movie.
Oh.
Most of the casino floor filming that was done for that zombie, that Vegas zombie movie, was done in the closed down Atlantic Club as far as
I didn't realize that. You mean the one that's been quite recent on Netflix? Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you see? You learn something new. So anyway, I was just talking about how very confusing that Atlantic City history is. I feel we need to say it a little bit on this episode, just to interject. We do have this wonderful conference, Zorkfest, coming up at the end of December. That's right. And this podcast is dropping right before you're going to be able to, the last days of getting on the room block for the Plaza. So it is at the Plaza. Plaza's having their 50th anniversary. Zorkfest is on the 17th and 18th of December. You can go to zorkfest.com to find out all about it, to see the beautiful and wonderful speakers, and to also get a link to buy tickets. You can also go to ZorkFestSchedule.com, and that will redirect you to a ZorkFest page that shows all of the sessions that are going on. I really suggest if you have an opportunity to come out to Vegas, you come. You can get a room for as little as $144 for three nights with $50 worth of food and beverage and another $25 match play. Zorkfest includes a cocktail reception, match play. It's a buffet lunch. I think it's a really great value.
Come to great talks by people like me.
Right. And there are coupon codes out there to get the early bird. So even though the early bird is over, you know, to get the early bird price, which would be $50 off the current price. And you know what? If you have trouble doing that, reach out to us. We can give you a coupon code to make sure, because, you know, just so you get that $199 price, no problem at all. But make sure if you do want a room, you have to book by November 30th. And you know what? Book your hotel room, even if you're not sure and you're waiting to buy your Zorkfest ticket, which you could still wait a little bit longer because the hotel rooms are refundable up to 72 hours in advance. And of course, it's going to be Steve's birthday, and we have an optional dinner at Oscar's, which is going to be amazing. And wait until you see who's going to jump out of that cake.
Oh, well, you've been bigging it up, so I hope it's not a letdown.
Yeah, well, it might be. So Steve, so that's our only plug for Zorkfest. We've tried to not over Zorkfest most of the podcasts, but we had to do one for this. Steve, the final bits, final two bits.
We say it's the final plug, but I kind of was going to link into this with my final bits when I mentioned Podcaster Potluck. Super excited for this, and that's going to be at Zorkfest too. And I believe, Michael may correct me, but you can buy tickets for Podcaster Potluck independently of your Zorkfest ticket too, right? It's included in the Zorkfest ticket, but if you just want to come along to Podcaster Potluck, you can, and you can buy a ticket for that.
Absolutely. I mean, we prefer people come to the whole Zorkfest thing, but we know that's not for everybody. So some people have just done slot pulls and dinner. If you want to do slot pulls and just the podcaster event, if you want to do dinner on Friday night, which is a really great prefix at Oscars, I'm not going to go into it. It's all on the website, but it's really great. You could do that and do the podcaster ticket. So there are a lot of varieties. And of course, if you just buy the podcaster ticket and then a week before you have a little bit of FOMO and you want to join for Zorkfest, we'll work it all out for you. Yeah. But you're absolutely right.
I wanted to mention it because it's probably one of the only times I can think of in Vegas where a number of podcasters have got together as one sort of session, rather than, I mean, there's been events before where podcasts have happened in Vegas and they've recorded one after another, but this is a whole group of podcasters together, which is really, really cool.
Yes, we also have a travel podcaster as well as the gambling ones. And if you want even more of it, after that first session, which Lisa at the Plaza is sort of like the MC coordinating it all, you know, and we're going to have Vital Vegas there, Vegas Confessions, Geo Breeze Travel, The Better Life. And then after that, we're doing The Better Life Live with Gil Alexander and I think some other potential guests too. So if you want even more, and these are live audience podcasts, so there'll be a microphone, you'll be able to ask questions. It's just going to be a super cool, I agree with you. It's a super cool thing that's sort of integrated in the middle. And what's really cool about this, one of the reasons why we did most everything on Saturday is so you still have time to do other things on your weekend, like leaving Sunday totally free.
So my other final bits was about hotel and casino upkeep. I've seen a lot of pictures, and I think the most striking one at the moment for me, and I don't know if you've seen it, Michael, but is the Paris balloon outside. Have you seen the top of it? It's really faded and looks like it needs a really good paint job. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think I have. I mean, I notice I try not to pay that much attention to those things, but we see a lot of that kind of thing with
these. So what I'm trying to say is these casinos, I think, are starting to miss a trick, and you can't use COVID as an excuse anymore. You've got to upkeep your properties. And there are certain properties now in Vegas, in my opinion, that are starting to forget that and are at risk of potentially losing customers. So please, casino operators, because I know that, of course, they will listen to this podcast, all those casino and hotel CEOs, look after your properties and, you know, invest in them. This is a great time. So many places we talked about Wynn. We also have had Bellagio refreshing the rooms. I want to see more of that happening now, and people sort of are coming back to Vegas. You've got to appeal to people, because you can't just put rates low now. You can't go on the fact that people are hankering to come back because of COVID. You've got to start attracting back customers. So I think that's really important. And places like, I was just thinking about, I was chatting to a friend about Aria the other day. I don't think they've refurbished their rooms since they opened. And that's another property that I've heard is starting to look a bit tired. So perhaps that'll be on the agenda too, going forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also it's hurting the goodness of the properties. Like I was in Go Suite, which is definitely over 10 years old. And they used to have these nifty TVs in the bathroom, in the mirror. TV in a mirror. So,
and I bet it didn't work anymore or something.
No, and there's no remote for it anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just like sort of just doesn't work
anymore. Yeah.
It's just, and you know what? I have to give them credit. The housekeeping service was really good. Everything was fine. You know, it's dated, but I thought it was better than I would expect it to be. But then you have those other kinds of elements where something breaks and they're not fixing it. And
I just don't want us to end up with another situation like the Rio, which was an amazing property and now somewhat feels unloved. And I know that it's kind of going to be like that way for another year or however long Caesars is left on there, because they're running it for a couple more years, aren't they? So the new operator isn't going to really...
Well, Hyatt is going to turn it into... It's going to turn into two Hyatt properties, but it's going to take a while.
They're not going to do any of that work until Caesars are out, so I heard anyway, and they have another year on running the casino. So anyway, if you find anything that you think needs better upkeep, I'd be interested to hear about it. So tweet me. Tweet me pictures of your Vegas hotel rooms where the remote doesn't work. Or I've heard the carpet's bad in Planet Hollywood and things like that. Tweet me at Las Vegas UK, because I'd love to hear from you. Name and shame.
Exactly. So thank you for joining us this week. Thank you again, Steve. This is another really fun episode. And the next time that we will be in Vegas.
Oh, we're getting so close.
Very, very close. And we're not going to talk about variants and viruses and...
No, we're just going to pretend like none of that is happening.
That's right. And we're just going to have positive Vegas dreams.
Positive vibes.
Exactly. So thank you, everyone. And until next time.
You've reached the end of your stay with us on this episode, but we encourage you to visit our website for more resources at travelzork.com and to continue the conversation on Twitter and Insta at TravelZork and on the ZorkCast Facebook group. Travel smarter, gamble smarter, and maximize your adventures right here on ZorkCast. Until next time, dream big and remember, a dollar won is twice as sweet as a dollar earned.